Of course, Christ's earthly ministry was to the nation of Israel, and he's constantly having problems with the scribes and Pharisees and Jews in general. Here in Matthew chapter 12 and verse 38, the Bible says, "Then certain of the scribes and of the Pharisees answered, saying, Master, we would see a sign from thee. But he answered and said unto them, An evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall no sign be given to it but the sign of the prophet Jonas. For as Jonas was 3 days and 3 nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. The men of Nineveh shall rise in judgment for this generation and condemn it, and shall condemn it, because they repented at the preaching of Jonas, and behold, a greater than Jonas is here." I'm trying to preach today, a few minutes by the Lord's help, on a greater than Jonas is here. Of course, we understand the setting of this passage here. As I said, it's to the nation of Israel. They was very well acquainted with the Old Testament and the prophets. Now, I think this is right. And if you miss everything else I say, please try to get this. Every age since Adam is responsible to respond to God in the light they do have. Now, of course, when you go all the way back, they had no Bible, you know, from Moses back, they didn't have a Bible. So they're responsible to respond to God in the light of their conscience. They had a God-given conscience. And of course, there's human government with Noah. And he, after that, God keeps adding promise in Genesis chapter 12. Then the law comes in. So each dispensation has more light. Now these folks here, they had all that light, but then the light of the world was here.
Yes, sir.
And so Nineveh didn't have near the light that these folks here had.
No.
So he said the men of Nineveh will rise in judgment with this generation, speaking of that generation there, and shall condemn it. In other words, the Ninevites will be a witness against the generation that rejected Christ in his day. Now, think of the light we have today. We don't only have Christ living in his earthly ministry here, but now he's died and been buried and resurrected, gone back to heaven, and we have the full canon of scriptures, as well as the Holy Spirit here and the church. So we have more light than any generation thus far. So it will be easier on any people back of here to Adam than it will our generation, because they responded. Many of them responded to the light they had. Now we have the entire light, not only Christ, the living word, but the Bible, the written word, plus the Holy Spirit making it known to us. And what a blessing it is to have all this light. But I'm trying to preach a few minutes on a greater than Jonah is here. Now Jesus was greater than Jonah. Jonah was a God-fearing man. Reading chapter 1 and verse 9, he told the sailors on the ship that he was a Hebrew and he feared God. So Jonah was a God-fearing man, but Jesus is the God-man. He's the God-man. He said, "I and my Father are one." John 10, verse 30. 1 Timothy 3, 16. "That controversy great the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached of Gentiles, revealed in the world, received up the glory." So Christ come down here as the God-man. Hebrews 1, 3 said he's the express image of the invisible God. That is, he's the exact same. There's not three gods. One God in three manifestations. And so Christ was the body form of God. Behold, a greater than Jonah is here. Now the wind was contrary because of Jonah, chapter 1, verse 13 of Jonah. But the wind ceased because of Jesus. You read it in Matthew 14, 32. When Jesus got in the boat, the Bible said the wind ceased. If he's in your boat, you can have calm. For the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy and peace. Thank God. Those storms may come. And dark times may come. Discouraging times may come. But He is our peace. So the wind ceased when Jesus got on board. Many folks, their boat is in real turmoil today, in storm. But I tell you, if you get Jesus on board, the wind will cease. Somebody said, I got a lot of problems, but He's the problem solver. Are you glad of that? Yes, sir. And then He's not only greater than Jonah in his person, but Jesus is greater than Jonah in his practice. Now, Jonah wanted his will. The word of the Lord came unto Jonah, chapter 1, verse 3, and told him to go to Nineveh, but he went down to Joppa. And so, I'm saying, Jonah wanted his will, but Jesus wanted the Father's will. John 6 and verse 38, he said, I come down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. In verse 40, he said, this is the will of him that sent me, that whosoever seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up to the last day. Are you glad Jesus come down to do the Father's will? Are you glad it was the Father's will to save sinners? Are you glad it was the Father's will to come where you are and find you and bring you in His fold? Lord, take a minute out every once in a while and praise God. We could be over in some heathen country. In fact, we are in heathen country, but here we're in the church now, and we've been saved from darkness and saved from wrath and saved from sin. I say, praise God. Hey, you know what this Bible said? Rejoice evermore. Did you know the Bible said in Philippians 4:4, rejoice in the Lord always. If you're saved, it's always right to praise God. I've told somebody today, listen, more sinners that want to get saved when more saved people get happy about being saved. You think that's right? I think that's right. And so Jonah was disobedient at the command of God, but Jesus was obedient. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 8. Being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Think about this. Jesus always did what was pleasing in the Father's sight. Behold, a greater than Jonah is here. Are you glad He's greater than Jonah? Listen, Jonah suffered for his own sin, but Jesus suffered for our sins. Jonah, listen, he is cast overboard and went down to the bottom of the sea, and the whales met him, but Jesus Christ come down here. The Bible tells us, in 1 Peter 2 and 24, who His own self bare our sins in His own body on the tree, that we being dead to sins and living righteous, by whose stripes ye were healed. For we were as sheep going astray, but now we return to the shepherd and the bishop of our soul. Oh, I'm glad the just suffered for the unjust, that He might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. Jesus suffered for our sins. He had no sin. He could not sin. He did not sin. Yet He was made to be sin for sinners, that we might be made the righteous of God in Him. A greater than Jonah is here. Listen, Jonah was cast out of God's presence for his sin. You know, God turned His face and He wouldn't hear Him because He is going contrary to the will of God. But Jesus, up on the cross, He underwent darkness and the wrath of God, not for His sin, but for our sins. Oh, He is cut off as far as death is concerned, when His soul was made an offering for sin. If you'll let me take just a minute, He suffered in His body. He was crowned with thorns, beaten, bruised. His beard was plucked from His face. He was spit upon. They nailed Him to the cross. And that's a bad scene. But at noonday, God made His soul an offering for sin. Isaiah 53 and verse 10. It pleased the Father to bruise Him, that is, in the office work of redemption. And He spared not His own Son. Romans 8:32. So Christ was made to be sin and was cut off from the light of heaven and went under the wrath of God and stayed there 3 long agonizing hours and went to hell on the cross. That's where He cried, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? He was forsaken, that is, as far as sovereign judge, the office work of God as judge, and the sin offering and Savior was cut off and rejected and went under the frowns and wrath of a sin avenging God and stayed there. His divine justice was totally and completely satisfied. Now when a repenting, believing sinner turns to God in his heart and comes with the contrite spirit, God can freely forgive him and freely make him whole, because Christ paid the ultimate price and gave himself a ransom for all. I believe I'll take a minute and say, thank you, Lord, for dying for me. Thank you, Lord, for paying my sin debt off in full. Thank you for taking my blame and satisfying God for me. Now I'm accepted in the beloved by faith in him. Brother, if that don't stir you up on the inside, you do need reviving again. Amen. May God help us to see it. Listen, Jesus went away from God's presence as a sinner. Oh, cried like a sinner from the cross. Behold, a greater than Jonah is here in his person, in his practice, and in his preaching. Jonah preached condemnation. Yet 40 days and the city will be overthrown. Condemnation is on a message that Jonah had from the Ninevites. But Jesus had a message of justification. He said in John 3:18, he that believeth is not condemned. He that believeth on Christ is not condemned. He that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. In John 5:24, he said, he that cometh to me and heareth these sayings of mine and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. And so he preached justification. In other words, God declaring you right through Jesus Christ. That's what justification is. It's a legal term. It's what God does in heaven for the repenting, believing sinner. And so Jesus preached justification. Jonah preached condemnation. Jonah preached retribution. That is, deserved punishment for your sin. You know what you deserve for your sin? Have you ever thought about it? And Brother Youngblood said to me today, said, I'm doing better than I deserve. If we got what we deserved, we'd go down to hell under the wrath of God. That's where we'd be now. That's what we deserve. We deserve justice instead of deserving a punishment, and justice instead of getting that, we got mercy. Mercy is God withholding from us what we deserve. Jesus got what we deserve. And by grace, we got what we do not deserve. And so we obtain mercy and find grace to help us in the time of need. Jonah preached retribution, but Jesus preached redemption. He said in Matthew 20:28, the Son of Man come not to be ministered to, but to minister and give himself a ransom for many. He paid the ransom price. Praise God. Listen, he redeemed us. That means he bought us. That's what the word redemption means. To pay the price and redeem that. We was on the slave market of sin. We could not pay the price. Somebody said to me, all that said, now I think you have to live right to get to heaven. I said, how right do you think you have to live to get to heaven? He said, well, I think you have to do the best you can. I said, you mean to tell me that you think you can satisfy God by doing the best you can? Oh, this Bible said in Romans 3:3, we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. Romans 3:10, as it is written, there's none good, no, not one. You could never satisfy God. God won't accept the best you can do. It took the best he could do. And you know what he did? Brother, he paid the price. Jesus Christ offered himself without spot to God. God demands and requires perfection. And you and me cannot produce perfection. You might do better than me. Somebody else might do better than me and you both. But nobody can reach what God requires but God himself. That's why God come down in Christ and reconciled the world unto himself. It took God to satisfy God. And the only way you can get to where God is be in Christ, who is God. And it takes God, the Holy Spirit, to put you in Christ. So when it's all said and done, God does in you what needs to be done. And God brings you and makes you acceptable in the beloved. Praise God. I think that's right. Yes, sir. And you'd be surprised. A lot of people, you know, a couple of Mormons come to my house. And they said, now, I think you have to repent and believe in Jesus and be baptized and keep the law and endure to the end. And I said, I can't do that. I'm left out of the cold. I got to do all that. I said, by the way, am I saved by works, half works, two-thirds works, or am I saved by grace through faith? See, I tried to tell them, I said, listen, you can take all religion in the world, There's only two piles of them. One over here believes in salvation by grace through faith, and all these others believe in salvation by grace plus works. When you see it, when you get older, I said, by the way, what end do I have to endure to? And they said, well, the end of life. I said, well, it didn't say the end of life, Matthew 24:13. It said he shall endure the end. I said, could you name me one person that you know whose soul has been saved, ever been saved, by enduring to the end? And he just thought and said, well, I don't guess so. I said, I don't think anybody's soul saved by enduring to the end. Now, your face might be saved by enduring to the end, like Israelites in the tribulation, except those days be shortened, and no face be saved. But for the elect's sake, that is, the Israeli elect, those days shall be shortened. But nobody's saved as far as their soul being saved by enduring to the end. If my have been saved, they will be saved. It has to be by grace, through faith. And by faith we stand in this grace, justified, and rejoice, amen, in the glory of God, in the hope of eternal life through Jesus Christ. And so, I'm saying, Jesus was greater than Jonah in his preaching. Jonah preached death. Hey, the city's going to be overthrown. You're under the wrath of God. Death's a coming. But Jesus preached life. In John 10:10, he said, the thief coming not before to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But he said, I'm come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Did you know what? You're just existing if you don't have this greater one than Jonah. If you don't have Christ, you are not living, that is, abundantly. You're not living as far as eternal life. You just have natural life. And the Bible said the sinner's dead in trespass and sin. And so what he's doing, he's just putting up his time here. Is that right? Listen, if you're not saved, you don't have life eternal. One fellow told me, I said, are you a Christian? He said, well, I go to church. I said, well, I go in the garage, but that don't make me an automobile. Because I go in the garage. Going to church don't make Christians. If you are a Christian, you should go and would go. And even if you're not saved, you ought to go to the assembly. But that don't make Christians. It takes Christ to make Christians. And when Christ gets in you, you're a Christian, then you can enjoy assembling with the Christians. And you won't have to endure till 12 o'clock every Sunday. Oh, no. Praise God. You, listen, you can enjoy the meeting house. You enjoy the singing and the praying and the fellowship and the preaching. I enjoy that. That's my daily meat. Amen. That's more necessary than my daily food is the worship of God. Oh, yes. The true worshipers worship the Father in spirit and in truth. God is a spirit and seeketh such to worship him. In other words, your spirit must be connected with God in order to worship. You can go to church and not worship. You know, there's no such thing in the Bible as go to church. There's a whole lot about the assembly. But a lot of folks in our day, they think going to church makes them okay. Well, you should go to what we call, I'm not fussing about using those terms, but worshipers connects with God in the spirit. Your spirit's what's been regenerated if you're saved. God is a spirit. So what man knoweth the things of man, save the spirit of man that's in him? Neither knoweth any man the things of God, but the spirit of God. Now we receive not the spirit of this world, but the spirit of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. You can't know anything about God apart from God's spirit. Now you might know God exists in your mind. You might know that the Bible's true intellectually. But you don't know anything about the character of God, the demands of God, the worship of God, apart from the Spirit of God. You can't worship without the Holy Spirit. You can go to a worship service. You can be where other people are worshiping. But you yourself cannot adore God in Christ for what he's did for you without the Holy Spirit on the inside helping your spirit to do that. They that worship him must worship him. His spirit and truth. For God is a spirit and he seeketh us to worship him. You know what God's looking for? He's looking for true worshipers. True worshipers. Now Jesus told the Pharisees, howbeit in vain you worship me. Teaching the commandments, the doctrine of men, and make the commandments of God. Now they were worshipers, but they were vain worshipers. Did you ever stop to think and I don't want to be negative all the time, that the millions of people in America today, in America, that will go to what they call a church building, or church house, or mosque, or synagogue, and they're going through vain worship. They just will be playing golf or fishing. They just will be doing some of this because their worship is not acceptable to God. The only kind of worship God will accept is spiritual worship. Connected with your spirit, you adore Him for loving you and dying for you and saving you and making you what you are. Now that'll make an old man feel like jumping up now. Amen. You see, I was taken to church, or somebody asked me if I was ever been on drugs. I said, man, I was drugged from one church house to the other for a long time when I was a kid. They used to drag you from one meeting house to other. And back then, it wasn't an hour or two. Sometimes people was on the morning meeting till 11 o'clock at night. And hardly anybody left either. You stayed and waited. Amen. Waited till it was all over. And so I went to a lot of church houses and what they call church and revival meetings. Heard preaching. Somebody said, did you hear the gospel all your life? I thought I probably did, but I didn't know it was gospel. And I could care less whether it'd been gospel or not. I knew there's a preaching that's talking about heaven and hell and whatever else I don't know. But I knew there's a preaching, but I wasn't getting it. But oh, listen, when I was 20 years old, listen, I heard the gospel as good news. I never had worship. I never had truly worship. When God saved me, I got connected with God in the Spirit, and I've been worshiping ever since then. True worshipers worship the Father in spirit and in truth. You can't worship any other way. A greater than Jonah is here in his power. Jonah done no miracles, and Christ done many, many, many miracles. That he never lost the case. You know, he cleansed the leper, gave sight to the blind, raised the widow woman at nine's dead son, and just the fed multitudes on two fishes and five loaves, and we could just go on and on and on and on. Jonah done no miracles. Behold, a greater than Jonah is here. Listen, if you go to hell now, you got to go over the Holy Spirit. You got to go over all the truth in the Bible. You got to go over the prayers of the saints. You got to go over the preaching of Jesus Christ and His dealings by the Holy Spirit. I mean, hell's going to be mighty hot for a generation that goes to hell from here. Going to be hotter than it will be, folks, way back down the centuries ago. They'll have the greater damnation. That is true. Now, Jonah forgave no one. In fact, he got mad because God didn't overthrow the city. And Jesus forgave many, many people. Yes. I mean, they come. Well, he said to the man one time, they let down through the roof. Everybody knows that story in Mark 2. He said, thy sins be forgiven thee. And a bunch of religious folks said, who on earth has power to forgive sins but God? In other words, they didn't believe he is God. Jesus knew their thoughts. Well, he said, well, which is easier to say? Take up your dead and walk, and thy sins be forgiven. But that you may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins, he said to the sick man, take your dead and walk. Amen. I'm glad he can do it anyhow he wants to do. Sometimes he goes to the extended way to tell people and try to make people see the truth. And some people just won't see the truth anyway. Jesus had no compassion, but Jesus, when he looked on the multitude, Matthew 9:36, he was moved with compassion. Are you glad he had compassion on you? I'm glad he had compassion on me. I'm glad he still has compassion on me. By the Sunday school class, the Lord is my shepherd. A shepherd cares for the sheep. A shepherd has compassion on the sheep, and a shepherd cures the sheep. Hey, are you his sheep? You know, only God can make sheep out of sinners. You already know this, but we were never lost sheep. We were just old alien hell-bent sinners. We had no covenant. But I'm glad God now makes us one with the Israelites if they're saved, and we have the same Savior, the same shepherd, and we're all in the same sheepfold, heading to the same landing, praise God. Jonah had no power to get out of the whale. He couldn't get out. He had to confess, Jonah 2:9. But Jesus said in John 2:19, destroy this temple, I'll raise it again in 3 days. And he did. He had power to get up from the dead. And when he got up, he said, "Behold, I have the keys of hell and death. I'm he that was dead and I'm alive forevermore, and have the keys of hell and death. Behold, a greater than Jonah is here." Jonah had no power to create anything. Jesus created everything for his glory. Colossians 1:16. And now he's in the business of making new creatures and creating a new sinners. When you come as a sinner, a guilty, a repenting, believing sinner, then Christ creates you anew. Makes you a new creature. It's not working the old man over. It's sitting beside all you are, making the new creature in Christ, and old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And now you love him because he first loved you. Yes. We're going to heaven because he came to earth. We couldn't do anything on our own. We had no power. The Bible said in Romans 5:6, when we were without strength, that is, we had no power to lift ourselves up. We couldn't bring ourselves. When we were without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. When you couldn't save yourself, he came to save you. You couldn't bring yourself, he came to call you by his grace. Ain't that wonderful? Behold, a greater than Jonah is here. I hope you don't face the judgment of God and men from past ages rise in judgment with you that didn't have near the light you have and condemn you. Think about that. We have more light than any generation thus far has ever had. We not only have a God-given conscience, even government to restrain us. Now church and saints to pray for us. The entire Bible to warn us and tell us about the character of God. And the preacher to preach the word of God and the spirit of God to deal with us. Oh, a greater than Jonah's here. We have all the light we need. Now, if you don't get saved, you know what you have to do? Willfully and deliberately turn against light and choose the darkness. You have to walk away from God because God went to great lengths to reach for you. Think about what all God's done in order to get to us. He's done everything needs to be done to save any sinner that would repent and believe it. Are you a Christian? Do you know and understand